Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and receive a $500 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGPN on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And next, we're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one home of free sports betting picks. Visit PicksWise.com to make your next bet better. And next, we're brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Over $30,000 is up for grabs over this season. Go to OddsCrowd.com to sign up. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app. The SGPN is giving you a chance to win $100,000 in their NFL Week 1 contest exclusively only on the SGPN app. So download that in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store today.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 70. I couldn't find any good athletes or anything to that were worthy of me dedicating this episode to them that wore number 70, so I'm going to dedicate it to myself because I'm amazing, and I went 8-1 on the weekend, and I kicked my co-host's ass, as per usual. Well, yeah, as per usual, is what we're going to go with. He's not allowed to talk yet, so we're just going to leave it at that. I was bragging to my wife, and she said, "Don't you just guess with those picks anyway?" I'm like, "Oh, I've never been so offended in my life. Guess. You know how much work goes into these picks." But yeah, we probably could guess and do almost as well. But thank you for coming to the podcast. You're here for amazing picks and even better banter than this is the spot for it. I would be your host, Jeff Fox. I write and edit on Sports Gambling Podcast. .com, and I run the MMA-Manifesto.com, and I have a co-host who, despite associate co-host, I guess is what we were calling him, despite going 7-2 last with his picks on the weekend, he still got beat by me. That would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland, who my son says is start calling him Daniel Barney Gumble Vreeland instead of Gumby. So your new name is Barney Gumble Vreeland.
I'll take the Simpsons reference. I don't mind that. Yeah. That could be more offensive, although it is like the token wrong character.
Yeah, exactly. But he's a good singer. He's a very good singer.
That's right. He has a very highly successful barbershop quartet, and he was put together some really nice avant-garde movies for a film festival one time, I believe.
he ran a successful plowing company until Homer in my business. I think he owns the barn. It's bowling alleys his too, I believe. I don't know the whole story behind that.
Really? That must be a newer thing. That's not from the early episodes. That's after I stopped watching.
I could be wrong, and someone's getting super pissed off. I think someone's probably getting really angry at me for that because it's probably wrong.
He works for the bowling alley.
It's called Barney. It's owned by his uncle. Okay, Barney's Bowler Ram. It's owned by his uncle, Al. Barney Gumble's uncle, Al. Okay. So there you go. Anyhow, your name's Gumble. Hi, Hi, Barney Gumbel, Vreeland. He went 7-2 and still got beat.
I would like to point out that you did show up to the review episode finally, now that your picks were slightly better than mine, but you did miss two episodes in a row where we reviewed our picks, and you happen to have worse picks than me and lost ground in the money lead. Yeah.
No, that's not true at all. You beat me by one pick the 1 week, and I beat you by one pick last week, and you beat me by whatever. Whatever, Dan.
But the week you beat me by one pick, you also lost by $300.
That's true. But we're, if you're following all of our picks, we're doing amazing right now. Dan, let me see. What kind of run are we on? I'm 14-11. I should have done this off air, but it's more fun listening to me add on air, I think. 14-11, 23-14, 31-15 I am over the past, 4 weeks? That's not so bad. That's like what? Let me see. That is... by 77%, I would say. Not too shabby. I think Dan's even better, though. Yeah, I'm 67%. Dan is 18-7, 26-11, 33-13.
Woo! That sounds decent.
Sounds decent. Let's see what that is. It is 72%. Holy moly. And despite, like, you've won, like, 800, 1,100. You've won, like, almost $1,400 over the past 4 weeks, and you're still down like $2,300 on the year. That's insane.
It was a rough start, and as you pointed out, it's maybe not the best idea to bet $100 on every fight.
Exactly. And I'm up like $1,000 over the past 4 weeks, and I'm down like $2,800, so it's insane. So anyhow, we did good with our picks on the weekend. For the year, I'm at 57% accuracy. I'm creeping closer, actually not even creeping, I'm charging towards the 60% rate that I wanted to be at. Dan's up to 54, both down money, blah, blah, blah. The only pick I got wrong was my lock pick, which is just great. We'll go through that later. But for locks, I'm 13-19. Dan is 10-12, both down money. So we're not so hot at the locks, apparently. But we are hot at picking all the fights now, even though we decided it's not a good plan. It has been over the past month. So hopefully you just started listening about, what, 8 episodes or so ago, and you think we're geniuses, and we're not just hilarious hosts. We're also geniuses when it comes to picks. You know who also geniuses, Dan? Winbet. That's who, Alex. Ready to win money. Very good. Ready to win money and boost your odds. Winbet is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet for boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport. We have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $500 sports bet. Download BetWin. Download WinBet app or visit WynNBet.com to start winning. And we're also brought to you by PropSwap. PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go and check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available, browse the activity feed to stay in the know, a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash, and much more. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. When making your bets, always make sure to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team or player so you can sell one for profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, let's get into UFC Fight Night, Brunson versus Till. The inmates were loving me on the Slack channel, the SGPN Slack channel last night, because they were following some of my picks, and I actually pulled it off last night. So you are welcome. And as I also promised the people in the Slack, this is the only podcast on the network that's a Munaf Manji free zone. He will never be on this podcast ever. So you have that to thank us for also. All right, main event went pretty – one thing I can say about most of these fights is they all went pretty much – we didn't just get the picks right. We nailed what was going to happen pretty much perfectly, and looked no further than the main event.
Yeah, and the two we lost too, I don't think we were all that far off on.
I didn't lose two, Dan. I lost one.
Yeah, okay. But also, you were pretty close to losing one of those two.
I was very close. Yes, we'll get to that. Yes.
But yeah, no, Derek Brunson. Let's talk about
it. Yeah, he deserves some respect. Put some respect on his name, Dan.
I mean, we had been respecting him before that. I told you before this, when I went to go look at the odds, like I gave my usual scan through the card and had mental picks for everything. And, you know, a couple of ones that I was like, make sure you go, you know, watch a little bit more of Gigi on Kim before you finalize that pick. But like, I went through them all and I was like, oh yeah, Derek Brunson's the easy pick. Hopefully the odds aren't too much in his favor. And then I looked him up and I was like, he's an underdog? Like, what is he doing as an underdog here? He's a guy.
A big underdog too.
He was a guy with great wrestling. You know, like I said before, probably the best wrestler at middleweight right now. You know, like you can say Chris Weidman probably was better back in the day. Even that I might debate you on, but like Derek Brunson is the best current middleweight wrestler and he's going up against a guy who got taken down by Jorge Masvidal. Like why would he not be a favorite? And it's not like he can't hold his own. It's not like if he can't get him down, he's a piece of shit on the feet. He's not a piece of shit at all. He's quite good on the feet as well. Granted, Till did look better on the feet, too. I'll give him that. For everybody who's like, oh, Till needs to change camps or Till needs to, you know, figure something out. Like, he looked good striking. That's always been his thing. He can't stay striking against Derek Brunson. And the interesting thing for me is he said he's willing to wait for a title shot. I think that title shot probably is at least a year away, and that's if they even think he's second in line, because he's clearly second in line, right? Robert Whittaker's next. That fight isn't rumored till like early 2022, and you got to imagine whoever wins Paulo Costa versus Marvin Vettori is probably not all that far away from being number two. Like, right, if Paulo Costa went out there and absolutely just sparked Marvin Vettori, you might even move him up further. Like, it's a better win, and you could have done it in more emphatic, fast fashion. And, you know, like, kind of the storyline's already there for Paulo Costa. I feel like Derek Brunson needs to fight that winner, right? Like, that doesn't that make much more logical sense?
Yeah, probably. I also have a feeling he's going to be one of those guys who's going to be, like, so close to a title shot finally, and he's going to, like, trip the very last. Like, he's going to have to take a in-between fight rather than getting a title shot because based on just nothing based on his skills or accomplishments, but based on timing, and I bet he's going to lose regardless of who he fights because he's been waiting decades to get a shot. And like Jacare style, hopefully it doesn't happen because he used to fight like a wild man. Now he fights like a smart fighter, but he's a wild man on the ground now. He's not just a, like when he was getting safe there and using wrestling in the past. Now he just pounds, like his ground and pound is Mark Coleman-esque now. It's wild.
Yeah, it is really interesting to see the development of his game because you're right. He still is wild like he used to be, but it's wild in a way that is like in calculated moments. Right, like he saw those moments where he could posture up on Darren Till to drop bombs and use that to do absolutely crazy amounts of throwing elbows and punches, and then settled back in and was safe and made sure he advanced position and got to a better position and didn't punch himself out. And then he found an opening again. So, like, it is wild, but it's also like a very – it's like a very technical wild, which is kind of even more impressive and makes him such a tough fight for so many people in this division. I hope you're wrong about the Jacare comparison because it still bums me out that Jacare never got a title. Jacare was one of my favorites of all time. Like, and to see him not get a title shot, Derek Brunson's slowly turning into like must-see TV every single time he fights. Because between this fight, and I mean, like, the Edmund Shabazian fight was absolutely can't miss. You knew he was going to beat the hell out of Kevin Holland, but even that was kind of fun. Like, I mean, like, he's looked, since losing to Israel Adesanya, the dude has looked damn near unbeatable.
It's got to be the hair, I think, don't you think?
It's got to be it. That's the only explanation.
I forgot he even fought Adesanya before, but I can picture him beating him. No, like I totally can picture him beating Adesanya.
Maybe not
Whittaker. Whittaker, like you were talking about wrestling, you think he can out-wrestle Robert Whittaker?
I actually think he would have a harder time out-wrestling Izzy. is as weird as that sounds. Yeah, because part of what and you saw Darren Till stuff him once or twice, or like he got in on Darren Till's legs, and Darren Till managed to keep his feet and like break the grips from around his hips and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it was like Darren Till using his height and using his like length, because Darren Till, despite being a former 170 guy, is very long and tall, and I would say, if I'm not mistaken, had a size advantage on Derek Brunson. You know, like he's always bragged he walks around at like 210 and then used to fight at 170. So like he seemed much bigger here than Brunson, and I think some of that size and the length of his legs came into play in that takedown defense. And is he actually, as much as people knock him for getting taken down by Jan Blankovic all those times, like those takedowns aren't what lost him the fight. He was already getting pieced up on the feet and getting his legs kicked and like all kinds of other things. And like he was worn out when he was giving up those takedowns. I actually think his takedown defense is far better than people remember it being, because like the image that sticks in your head is that Jan Blankovic fight where he was giving up tons of weight in like a lot of size and had already kind of gotten beat up by somebody who's bigger and faster. So yeah, like I actually think Israel Adesanya would be a tough out for Derek Brunson, because I just don't know how much of that wrestling can get going. And as I said right at the beginning of all this, Darren Till was doing better in the striking exchange than Derek Brunson. Like he was winning. If that fight doesn't go to the ground, I'm positive Darren Till wins it, which, hey, maybe is why he was a favorite in this. But given that fact, if you can't stand and trade with Darren Till without getting pieced up a little bit, man, dude, that's a bad night for you against Israel Adesanya.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Hopefully we do get to see it, though. You want to talk about Darren Till? Well, what are we going to do with Darren Till, Dan? It's up to us, I guess, what we're going to do with him. One win over his last five, but like we mentioned in the preview for this this event, he is only beaten, or he's only been beaten by the cream of the crop in welterweight and middleweight. I hope they just downcycle him, give him lesser names, way further down the food chain, and let him build himself back up here.
Yeah, I've got one that sticks out really for a lot of reasons, and that's Uriah Hall makes a lot of sense for me. Because both of them, neither one wants to be wrestled. They both are very cool with being on the feet. Granted, Uriah Hall has wrestled a little bit more since he moved to Fortis MMA, and he like sprinkles it in there. Both of them guys who people had like touted as future champions for sure, or at least big time title challengers. Neither of them worked out as that. Both of them, you know, Uriah Hall is quite a bit older, so we can't really say the book's closed on Darren Till because he's about 10 years younger than Uriah Hall. But both of them kind of like have failed to live up to their expectations so far. Both of them like to strike. Both of them are kind of in a weird position where they're coming off of losses to guys who are on the way up and clearly have just passed them and moved ahead of them. And they both kind of need like a big name guy who they can go in and slug with. And you know, tell me I'm wrong. If those two kicked off a pay-per-view, you wouldn't say like, oh, that's a shitty fight to kick off a pay-per-view. Or if those two, even if they headlined a fight night, like you told me fight night Till Hall was coming in December, I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense for a fight night headliner. I'd watch that for five rounds. It'd probably be a fun striking match for five rounds.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I see. I totally could see that happening. So maybe it will. Who wins though? Till versus Hall. I say Till, but do you agree?
I think Till too, mostly just on the basis of like when Hall gets hit and like things aren't going his way, it very much feels like there's a mental block. And I know that that's, you know, that's such a stereotype on him or been overplayed on him as, like, his big flaw. But, like, with the Sean Strickland loss, man, dude, it really seemed like getting punched in the face was, like, a too big of a bummer to him. And it looked like Saif Saad couldn't even snap him out of it. Like, that dude's usually slapping his fighters in the head in between rounds to try to get him back in it. And, like, I mean, I've talked to so many guys who train at Fortis MMA, and every single one of them is like, yeah, he slaps me a couple of times and, like, insults me and tells me that I need to stop being such a bitch, and then I'd stop being such a bitch and knock the guy out. And, like, you know, Ramiz Brahimi has told me that. Diego Fajeda has told me that. Like, you know, I've heard that from so – Jeff Neal has told me that. And, like, he couldn't even, like, get Uriah Hall into, like, looking like he wanted to be in that fight. It very much felt like he didn't. So, yeah, like, I think Till with his – the fact that he could probably match the speed and he hits kind of freaking hard and the fact that he would just get in there and mix it up. I mean, he has been tentative in the past, but not like Hall. So, yeah, I think he'd push the action enough to win pretty easily.
There, we found a way to crap on Uriah Hall, even though he has nothing to do with that, with the show that happened. Sorry.
That's one of my favorite seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, by the way. No joke. I love the Calvin Gastelum, Uriah Hall season of The Ultimate Fighter. It's great.
Dan always finds a way to bring it back to Tough also, don't you?
I do love Tough. He loves
Tough. You know, I love Dan. I love PicksWise. I love my transitions tonight, too.
You're PicksWise on your transition game, man.
I am. If nothing else, I have that going for me. PicksWise is the number one home for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays, helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction. For every game, every day, and every sport, all for free. Visit PicksWise.com to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, my favorite daily fantasy app. It's fast and easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. Easy for me to say. The more players you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way I play. So basically, like, if we were doing it for baseball, who were three of your batters for tonight, Dan, that you had in that article I edited earlier for Sports Gambling Podcast? Do you remember?
That's going to be rough because I saw
they're not doing good, Dan?
I had some Dodgers tonight, and the Dodgers maybe not doing so well. But let's say I did have Max Muncy and Chris Taylor, okay. And there's plenty of game left, so those two could do it. And I'm pretty sure I had Darren Ruff, who isn't starting, so we had to make a last replacement on that. Oh, Lamont Wade Jr., too. Yeah, so let's go Lamont Wade Jr., Max Muncy, and Chris Taylor.
So if those guys get over 1.5 hits plus walks, so basically if they get a hit and a walk, or 2 walks, or 2 hits, or more, you would win what? $20 would win you 100, right?
I think that's correct. Works, right? Yeah. $20 and, would you want, and we can play the unders since my picks were so bad this week. Yes. We'll take the unders on the Dodgers.
There you go. You can even play the unders. So there you go. So that's how Prize Picks works. And more, like I said earlier, more players you string together, the more cash you can win. So when you're on there, make sure you use promo code SGP to receive 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. That's Prize Picks, promo code SGP. All right. And then, like I said, $20 entry can pay you $100. That's called the power play option when you're on there. So check that out. So basically, main event last night was really the only fight that had any real significant ramifications at the tops of divisions. But there was quite a few fun fights and fighters making a name for themselves. Don't want it to be just us bragging the whole time, but we did get the co-main event right also, pretty much the way we predicted. Tom Aspinall TKO'd Sergey Spivak, elbows and punches. Only took him 2.5 minutes to get her done, and he looked like the top, top heavyweight prospect, like we were saying that we think he could be.
Yeah, and we nailed that piece, too, about, like, I think we talked about how Sergey Spivak is – first of all, he's very strong and likes to put people up against the cage and lean on him. And I was just like, you ain't going to do it to Tom Aspinall. That dude's an animal. And he tried to clinch him. And when he tried to clinch him, Aspinall was like, nope, kneed him in the stomach, elbowed him in the head, and it was over.
How rude.
Yeah, it's great, though. Like, he is, first of all, he is a very fun heavyweight prospect right now. In fact, if you ask me, he's the most fun, like, heavyweight prospect, like, up-and-comer guy, maybe outside of the top 5 or 10 to watch right now. And he's also the youngest, right? Like, he is only 28 years old. When have we seen, like, a 28-year-old heavyweight prospect? Like, what was the last time you can recall seeing a heavyweight prospect where you're like, he's not just good, he's young? Because, like, even Chris Daukaus, who I think of as being in that, like, same realm, I'm pretty sure he's like 33 years old or 32 years old or something like that. And, like, I mean, like, we got hyped on Francis when Francis was coming up, but that dude's 35 already, right? Like, Tom Aspinall is 7 years younger than Francis Ngannou, and it's a division where you can fight until you're 45. So, like, we could have 17 more years of Tom Aspinall, and it wouldn't be the craziest thing. So, Yeah, man, I love what he's doing right now, and I also think because he's 28, I don't think you have to rush him up to fight the Curtis Blades and Derek Lewis's of the world yet.
It sounds like he doesn't want to be rushed up either.
At 28, why do it? Yeah, at 28, why do it? So, you know, like I could see him, you know, I was looking at the rankings. I could see him fighting somebody like Augusto Sakai. Like Augusto Sakai's been like beat a couple of times in a row. He's a top 10 name. He's actually been knocked out a couple of times in a row, but like he's only ever been knocked out twice, and it's by Alistair Overeem and Yair Rosenstrike. So like if Aspinall goes out there and knocks him out, like that's a good list of names to be on, and I think he probably does with his aggression and stuff. So it would be like a more logical buildup than like throwing him to Rosenstrike or Curtis Blades or Alexander Volkov. Like I think he's probably only a fight or two away from those other guys though.
Yeah, very true. Looking at the performance rankings that I run on MMA-Manifesto, he's jumped up to number 7.
Yeah.
He's actually just jumped ahead of someone who may make sense to fight, Taitoi Vasa. What do you think of that, Matt?
Yeah, I love that fight. Work, right? I actually thought about that fight, too. The only thing is Taitoi Vasa is booked with Walt Harris, if I'm not mistaken. Which is, by the way, also another great fight. And also, I'll say this. I don't need Taitoi Vasa also fighting, because he's young too, right? Like, he's only 28. Yeah. I don't need the two 28-year-old heavyweights throwing down. I need them to, like, start to clear out the 35-year-olds and 40-year-olds in the division, you know, beat the Alexei Olenek and the, you know.
Arlovsky's.
Well, Tom Aspinall, well. He did beat Arlovsky, and it did make me sad, so thanks for bringing it up again. Yeah, but, like, beating the Arlovsky's and stuff like that, like, yeah, that makes more sense for him at this time. So while I like him fighting Taitoi Vasa, and I think that would be fun as hell, I also think just, like, why waste two young prospects when, like I said, Aspinall can go beat Augusto Sakai, Taitoi Vasa can go beat, you know, Walt Harris, who's on a terrible run and is 35 or 6 years old or something like that as well, and just, like, let them both climb and have multiple contenders who could possibly get sent to the back of the line by guys like Alexander Volkov and bump us all out.
Yep. And Sergey Spivak is only 26, so future should still be bright for him also, despite losing on, this was on very short notice, so no shame in that game.
He had a great winning streak.
Yeah, he did.
Too. He had beaten Carlos Felipe and Vandera and Olenek, and he actually has a win over Taitoi Vasa. You got to go back like 2 or 3 years, but like he beat Taitoi Vasa back in the day, so yeah, still very bright for Spivak.
Exactly. All right, so that was a fun one. Then we nailed Alex Morano beating David Zavada. 30-27, probably closer than I thought it was going to be. Probably closer than the score showed also. But Morano lives to see another day, and we chalked up another nice pick here at -155. Short notice win, also nonetheless.
Yeah, not much to say about this one. I mean, he just like kind of outclassed him on the feet, like I kind of thought he would, and it's not like Zawada had a means to bring it to the ground, so. Yeah, pretty simple and straightforward, and good for Morano. That's it. By the way, that's another.
He's not a Fortis. No, he is
Fortis. He is Fortis, but he also trains at Gracie Bar, the Woodlands, because he trains with my man Ricky Tercios. Yes. Him and Ricky Tercios are like childhood best friends. They're like both they're like best friends from their childhood. Yeah. He told me that in an interview one time. He's like, my buddy's gonna be on the Ultimate Fighter. And I was like, oh, cool. And then like Ricky Tercios was on the Ultimate Fighter. I was like, this dude is Alex Morano's friend? Because like it's not surprising that they're friends because they're both like super nice, super chill dudes. But like Alex Morano's like very serious and like very straightforward. And Ricky is out there, man.
Yes, he's Diego Sanchez. Level of out there, but hasn't worn hasn't out stated its welcome at this point, but we'll see if he's still talking like this in 15 years in the UFC. We'll see.
Have you heard his interview before? Let's get derailed talking about Ricky Tercios.
There we go. Ricky Tercios.
I'm trying to figure it back. Did you see his interview that he did on Media Day before the finale? When
I heard about it, yeah,
when John Morgan asked him how he was doing.
Yeah, Yeah, he took a massive pause, right? And
yeah.
I can't remember what he said. I just remember
he,
it was out
then
there.
Then he said, if I had to say a word, happy. And it was like this long pause, and he came out with happy. And then he proceeded to tell this story about how he woke up on this Wednesday, and I was dreaming of eating chicken wings. And I was like,
how
in the world does this answer the question? And everybody is just like, the thing about Ricky Tercios too, and Fernando Praches said this in an article I've read of hers, he feels like a cult leader. Like you just would follow anything he says because he's both saying the wildest thing you've ever heard. So you're like, I got to hear it. And then afterwards you're like, yeah, because he's so charismatic. So that is the leg up I think he has on the Diego Sanchez crazy train. Like when Diego Sanchez would say crazy things, he would also be like carrying a crucifix with an angry face into the cage. And like Ricky's just like good vibes and like feels really nice and like he's charismatic. So I say he's got a leg up on the Diego side of crazy.
Yeah, and he does get drug tests like everybody else, does he not? For recreational drugs? I'm just asking, putting that out there.
I would say no, because Nevada doesn't anymore, right?
Oh, like, okay, yeah.
Or at least they don't penalize for it and announce it. Although
I just mean something a little stronger than no. He's just naturally crazy. I'm joking.
Yeah. Did you see the episode of Tough? So I know not everybody watched.
No, I didn't. I didn't watch any of this year.
But if you see the episode this season, they let them like Skype call one of their family members, and he Skype called his dad. And like, I don't know if you can find the clip out there, but if you're listening and you care about Ricky Tercios or you think he's a fun personality, like, go find the clip of him Skyping his dad, because his dad is just him. Like, it's him again, only bald, and it's
amazing.
It's wild. He was calling his son man all the time. He's like, man, I know you're doing it, man. I know it. I was like, whoa, they're the same person. It's wild.
Crazy. See, Tough's worth watching, but I have someone that watches it for me and tells me what happened, so I don't have to anymore. Someone and his wife, they both have my back, so no worries there. All right, that's fine. Let's talk about one of our losses, Dan, because the dirty, rotten Khalil Rountree Jr., the cheater, had a wreck our man Modestas Bukauskas' knee. He was piecing him up as it was, so it wasn't like we got cheated there. We legitimately lost his pick. Rountree ended up oblique kicking him and destroying his leg. Do you have a problem with the oblique kick? I have no problem with it. As long as it's legal, then I have no problem with people using it in a fight, because that's cuts the chase here. The point of it is to incapacitate your the point of this pursuit is to incapacitate your opponent by any means necessary within the rules, and if that's within the rules, then so be it. So that's my view on it.
I'm also off people talking about outlawing it, right? Because it's not the only thing that has like a long debilitating impact either, right? Like, dude, if you've ever seen somebody get armbarred and not tapped, that is also a long road to recovery, right?
Like, well, someone just got heel hooked 2 weeks ago, right?
Right, yeah. Where was everybody looking to outlaw heel hooks when poor Pretty Boy Emmers had his leg?
Knee.
I have not heard anything about what that injury entails or what the MRI entails. You have to imagine he has the same type of damage as Modestas Bukauskas, if not worse.
Would you say his MRI wouldn't be pretty, Dan?
It would definitely not be pretty. He might be Pretty Boy Emers, but he does not have a pretty looking MRI. And I will say this too, like, for everybody out there saying let's outlaw the oblique kick. Okay, so how are you going to differentiate that with some other variation of the kick too?
Yeah,
right. Because that's the other thing, right? Like with 12-6 elbows, and I saw people say, like, if 12-6 elbows are illegal, this should also be illegal. And, like, with 12-6 elbows, there's a definition that you can follow.
12-6.
Right. Your elbow goes up, your elbow goes down. So what are we saying here is an oblique kick? Does your foot have to be pointed towards, like, the sole of your foot have to be pointed towards them? Because most of them are, right? Like, that's part of the kick that typically happens. Does your body have to be turned sideways for that one, or can it come from the front? Because sometimes the person squares their shoulders, and sometimes they do more of like a side kick and turn their shoulders. Like, there's so many different variations of kicks and where the kicks can come from and what, where, you know, the toe positioning of the kicks. And I'm not even a striking guy, but, like, I'm telling you that categorizing one kick like this to the outside of the knee, when the new thing to do is kick the shit out of people's legs every fight, like, yep. Trying to outlaw that is a nightmare. And in addition to that, it's like, how many TKOs from oblique kicks have you ever seen in your life?
0.0. Well, 1.0 now.
Modestus Bukauskas, right?
Happen to be on the wrong side of it.
I've seen John Jones throw 35 of them in a fight against Alexander Gustafsson.
That's where I was headed. Do you think that's the reason why so many people hate it? Is because John Jones uses it so frequently?
I mean, I think they hate it for the same reason why people on like in a regional jiu-jitsu tournament try to outlaw heel hooks. It is debilitating. It is a huge injury. And if you do not do the appropriate defense, then you lose your ACL or your MCL. But unfortunately, when you sign up for a local jiu-jitsu tournament or you get in the cage to fight in the UFC, you know what you're getting into, right? Like in Bukauskas even said it himself. I don't know if you've seen him coming out of social media. He said – The defense is there for it. Like I could have used the defense for it. I didn't see it coming, and I got hit with it, and it ended the fight. Props to my guy. I'll say this too. I also think the outrage here is huge because we were in a fight night where so far we had already seen three Cage Warrior dudes just absolutely tear a hole in this right. Like the next three fights we're going to talk about. Yep. All Cage Warrior dudes or gals who
– She's a dude too. She's one of the guys.
She's one of the guys. Yeah, her and Patty are boys. But those three fighters absolutely went out there and crushed everybody, and then they were like, oh, this next fight, also a Cage Warriors guy. And people were like, he's young. He's only 27, which is super young for light heavyweights. Like, and Khalil Roundtree has kind of already had his chance. He's a little bit older. I guess he's not super old, but he's a little bit older. Like, Bukauskas was a guy, and he's super nice. People really care about him. I think that added to the backlash, too, that he was young, and it was like a European hype night. But, like, bottom line is, it's a move that people use, and there's a defense for it that people can use, similar to checking leg kicks and all that other good stuff. So, you know, just let it run its course. People are going to stop talking about it in, you know, 2 weeks probably when we get a whole new event and a whole new slew of things to talk about.
Yep. All right. Rather than getting off the oblique kick, why did we get this one wrong, Dan? Where did we go wrong here? Because, like I said, this wasn't a fluke. He was getting pieced up the whole time.
Well, I mean, I think we expected to see the Khalil Roundtree that fought Marcin Prochniow and Ion Cutelaba, and we got the one who fought Eric Anders. You know, like we got the same one who fought Eric Anders, you know, 2.5 years ago. Because I don't know if you remember that fight. That fight with Eric Anders is insane. He looks so good in that fight. Eric Anders barely can stand, and Anders is no slouch. And then he came out and got taken down in the shit beat out of him by Ion Cutelaba, which we thought Modestus Bukauskas could do, right? Like he could take him down if he wanted to. And then he got pieced up by Marcin Prochniow and like was hesitant to fight Prochniow and like. Prochniow wasn't on any kind of killer run. So to lose both of those ways in a row and look so bad, I expected one of the bad versions of him to come out, and we didn't get that. We got the good version. So good for him getting his career back on track.
Yep. Is it back on track, though?
I would say so. I mean, like, if he could do that again, he's only 31. I just looked his age because I figured he was way older, but he's only 31, which is not ancient in that division. If you told me he was going to strike with people like he struck with people right there, like, he'd give a lot of guys trouble with that striking. Like, he's a pretty damn good, like, Thai-style kicker and striker. And that's, like, I mean, that's fun as hell and probably pretty difficult for a lot of these light heavyweights.
So what are we going to do with the Baltic James Brown? James Bond. James, what are you going to do with him, Dan?
I mean, first of all, you're going to put him on a shelf for 12 months because his ACL and MCL are almost undoubtedly snapped. I mean, I don't know. It's tough because he's lost a bunch in a row. I don't think the UFC is going to come calling for his job because, you know, this is a freak injury. One of those losses is to Jimmy Crew. I think he's going to get another shot, but if he does, it's got to be somebody like coming off the Contender Series or somebody brand new. Somebody who you kind of feel like he could beat, and if he can't beat him, then, like, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. So, yeah, I say give him, you know, his 12 months to recover and get back into training camps, and let's see him against an up-and-comer, because he's, I think he's still got a lot of promise.
Yes, sir. Move on to Dan's other slip-up. Hey, you had back-to-back slip-ups, Dan. Not good. Lightweights, Paddy the Batty, a.k.a. Paddy Young Owen Hart, which Daniel Cormier must listen to the podcast because he called him Owen Hart also. Paddy Pimblett was getting lit up by Luigi. Not by Mario, by Luigi, nonetheless. Like this, he was looking like a
Luigi's got better reach. You know,
that's true. He does have better reach. But then he turns into Waluigi, or he turned into Bowser and knocked out Luigi. At 425 in the first round. Seemed like the fight went longer than that. I was pretty sure I had this. Dan was going to beat me on this one, and I was going to have to eat crow this week. But Paddy Pimblett leaves his chin up way too much and was getting pieced up. And I've seen it described as an impressive performance. I would not call that an impressive performance. He got the knockout. He got himself the bonus. But I don't think that performance was really very impressive, and it doesn't bode well for his future either, that Luigi Vendramini had him on the ropes numerous times.
Yeah, I would just say this. I am, first of all, he deserved a bonus. That was a good bonus. I think mostly, you know, and I complain about the bonuses all the time. I think they got him mostly right. Tom Aspinall, Paddy Pimblett got the performance, for those of you who don't know. Molly McCann, Ijeon Kim, which we'll talk about in a second, got fight of the night. All very deserving. The only thing I would say is I kind of wish Julian Arosa got something too, because he put in a damn good performance. But yeah, like, yep. I'm really glad that I'm talking to you about this and not seemingly everybody else on Twitter, because yeah, I've heard it described as an impressive contest too. And dude, my stock in Paddy Pimblett went way down in this fight. Because like, you know, not for anything, if Luigi Vendramini tags you, wobbles you, and takes you down, Luigi Vendramini is a guy who got absolutely owned on the feet by Ferris Zayim. Absolutely owned on the feet by Ferris Zayim. If you think that Paddy Pimblett would walk into a fight and do anything but get absolutely demolished by Ferris Zayim on the feet, you've got another thing coming, right? Like, I just don't understand how, like, they fed him to a guy who was 1-2, and I picked him. So again, Vendramini better than his 1-2 record says. But, like, did I hear him right? Because it's certainly possible that I didn't hear him right. Did I hear him right in his post-fight interview say he was looking to headline a card?
I didn't hear that. I just heard all the kings here and all this type of stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's wild to me because, like, think about anybody who's a top 25 fighter in the lightweight. I'll give you all the way through 25 instead of top 10 or 15. And you think about Paddy Pimblett fighting him, and dude, I just think they kill him. Like, they just like, could you imagine him fighting Matrus Gamro? Right? Like, Matrus Gamro, the one who just plowed through Jeremy Stephens like he wasn't even there. Gamro crushes him on the feet. He's probably just as good, if not better, in jiu-jitsu and a better wrestler than he is. Like, Gamro would just end his life. And, like, there are other guys, too. Like, I heard somebody suggest he fight, including, you know, I said I'd like to see it too, but mostly because I want to see Pimblett kind of get exposed. But I want to see him fight Joel Alvarez. Do you remember Joel Alvarez?
No,
who ended Joseph Duffy's career with, like, a murderous submission. Like, he is way more promising of a future lightweight than Paddy Pimblett is. You know, like, a guy who's got that many holes in his striking. And, again, part of the reason why I said I wasn't high on him and I was picking Vendramini, not really great wrestling either.
Yeah, he struggled to get him down. And, I think this knockout's going to do him more harm than good, unfortunately, because it's going to going to blast him up even higher up the ranks when really he lost the whole fight except for the very last sequence there.
Do you think the UFC does run him way up the ranks, though? Or do you think, you know, and especially I'm just thinking based on the way they've matchmade Sean O'Malley for the last few years. Like,
right.
Do you think there's any chance they take that tact with him and realize, you know, this dude actually does have a tiny hole here. Maybe we don't feed him to the Matrus Gamro of the world or the I mean, I'm trying to think of other lightweights who are not quite ranked yet. But, man, could you – I mean, I'm just thinking about guys on the edge of the top 15. You imagine him fighting Brad Riddell?
Yeah.
Like, and I know he's only one fight in, like, we shouldn't be talking about him fighting in the top 15 of the toughest division in the UFC. But, like, that's the way people are talking about him right now. Brad Riddell would kill him. It would be over so fast.
Yeah, going back to your question about O'Malley, I think O'Malley's on board with that. It sounds like he's on board with the slow approach also. I don't think Pimblett and his team are going to be on board with a slow approach, which is going to be a problem, I think. So, depending on who, I don't want this to seem like Dan may be hating on him because Dan seems to hate fighters nonstop, but I want him to be good. Like, he's fun. He's and obviously he'll be good for business if he does become the next Conor McGregor. But I don't see it at this point.
Yeah, if people came out of this, and this is probably where I'm souring a little bit too, is that like if people had come out of this fight and been like, man, I can't wait to see that dude fight again, and that was the last sentence.
Right.
It was not that he is the next Conor McGregor or what an amazing performance. It wasn't really that amazing of a performance.
It was a Hail Mary, basically.
Yeah.
He saved himself again.
And, like, with what we know to be one of the worst parts of his game. Right? Yeah. Like, his striking is one of the worst parts of his game. Does he throw heavy? Yes, he does. But also not very technically and kind of got into a firefight where he's the one who got tagged first. So, yeah. And all the bragging about, like, we're from Liverpool. We don't get knocked out from Liverpool. Like, that's cool, man, but, like, have you seen the way dudes punch in your division?
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to last much longer if that's the approach you're going to take. But godspeed to Paddy Pivlett. Also, godspeed to Paramount Plus. The summer of soccer continues at Paramount Plus. Stream over 2,000 soccer matches a year from around the world. That's all the heart-pounding drama from CBS Sports, including UEFA Champions League, Europa League, Italy's Serie A, Argentina's Primera Division, the Brasileiro, NWSL, the Asian Football Confederation, and the CONCACAF qualifiers. Right, Dan?
You nailed it that time, my man.
I nailed it. Yeah, I was really nailing it for sure. That features the stars from the U.S. and Mexican men's national teams, plus much more. It's the best of the beautiful game with all the beautiful names like Messi, Mbappe, Ronaldo, Rapinoe, and Pulisic. Be part of the excitement. As champions are crowned and history is made, the world's game lives here on Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com to start your free trial and stream every match live. All right, let's rip through the prelims. We're going long like we always do. We do want to give you guys some picks for the Contender Series that a lot of people on the Slack channel were enjoying. They were finding a lot of the numbers, a lot of the lines off last week, and they took advantage of it. So hopefully us covering it's not gonna skew the bookies here, but let's get this card in the books first. Brunson versus Till. Meatball Molly came through in a very good fight. She won fight of the night. McCann versus Kim. Probably saved her job. I don't know if they were going to cut her. She's so popular, but she made it sound like it was going to save her job because it was the last fight on her contract. So she probably got herself a nice little bump up in pay also, and she got herself 50 G's.
Yeah, I would say if she didn't earn herself a contract with that performance, I don't know what would. I mean, like, that is – if Dana White wrote a textbook on how to be a fighter on the preliminary portion of the card on ESPN Plus, Molly McCann just followed that blueprint in that textbook to a T. Just put herself in an absolute firefight and did a great job against somebody with way better reach than her.
Yeah,
I will say also, you know, if you were trailing our picks last week, we did have Molly McCann by decision at plus 150. So you probably should have tailed along on that one.
Exactly. So hopefully we'll be seeing more from the cage. I'm sure we will. So we nailed that one, of course. We nailed the next one, of course, too. Jack Shore, tougher fight than expected against the late replacement off the Ultimate Fighter, Sholinian. He won 30-27, wasn't even close, but he wasn't able to finish him, and Sholinian did not look out of place in the cage.
No, he looked good, especially against, like, I personally think Jack Shore is very close to the bantamweight top 15 right now.
Yep.
And in your performance rankings, I'm assuming – based on the performances alone and the results alone, he's probably in the top 15 of those, if you haven't updated those yet. But he's probably
– I'm checking. Please hold.
He's probably near the UFC's top 15 too.
You'd hope so, yeah.
I'm trying to
find him here on my sheet. Beating a debuting fighter by decision doesn't get you a heck of a lot of points in my rankings, though. But let me where is Jack Shore? He is a bantamweight. This is thrilling podcast audio. I know. Yeah, no, he's still way down in the 40s because he doesn't have a lot of finishes, so he's still down there. But it's going to move up, and my rankings depend on how you beat if you finish a person and the person's UFC record going into the fight. So fighting newcomers doesn't help your case. But regardless, he definitely made a good showing of himself.
Well, and it was like a clinical showing too. That it was really impressive the way that he put that win together. So somebody mentioned that it was kind of GSP-esque,
right?
And I don't know that I disagree with that, right? Like it was, he used a little part of all of his game. He clearly brought his opponent to where his opponent didn't want to be. I'm very high on Jack Shore. I think Wales is obviously their number one shot right now. And again, another guy who's kind of young. He's only 26 years old. So, looking forward to seeing him again. I'd even like to see him against a ranked guy next. Like, I don't know that I wouldn't pick him to beat, like Cody Stamann. Like, would he beat Cody Stamann? Maybe. He'd probably beat Song Yadong. Like, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't.
Yeah, but he's fighting. Who was he supposed to fight again?
He was supposed to fight one of the Nurmagomedovs. Sad Nurmagomedov.
Right. Okay, that would have been a step up. So yeah, I don't want to see him fighting ranked guys yet, but I'm not saying he couldn't beat him though. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And Shalinian did enough, I think, to earn himself another shot. You'd hope.
Yeah, I'd like to see him against the other guy in the Ultimate Fighter, the one who lost to Ricky Tercios, Brady Highstand. Right. They both wrestle really well. It'd kind of be fun to watch their scrambles.
Loser leave town match. Make it happen. We faded the Canadian in the next fight, and we got it right. Dan, I have to admit, Dan helped me sway my vote over to Julian Arosa, but the way you broke it down made sense, and that's basically how the fight played out. His constant pressure and his craziness basically got himself a submission victory in the last round.
Yeah, and I think the only thing we might have missed on this one is I thought he would probably hit the knockout, and he probably wasn't all that far from it at certain points, especially.
Yeah, he was piecing him up. Yep.
Yeah, when he backed him down to the cage and had Jordan, which we talked about too. We knew he was going to back Jordan up and try to wear him out. He did a great job of that, but I think he's got crazy sneaky submission skills. By the way, do you know Julian Arosa went to a decision with Paddy Pimblett in Cage Warriors?
Really?
And a lot of people think Julian Arosa was robbed of the decision because it was.
Yeah, I think I remember that actually. Yeah.
Yeah, and so just a friendly reminder, that's a 145 pounder who may have possibly beat this guy we're talking about being a future champion. So maybe
guy
we should talk.
Cut. Maybe guy's we should cut twice already.
Twice,
in the
yeah.
US, so.
Okay, well, great run though for Julian Arosa.
Great run.
Love the Darius joke.
Now.
Yeah.
No, can we do you? Do you remember anyone else who's had three shots? I can't think of any recent ones or current ones that I've broken down at least since we started the podcast.
I don't think so.
It's very rare. It's and he's hard making to, the most of it, too.
I think there might – oh, no, because I think – no, man, all the ones I'm thinking of are two.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe a contract dispute, too. Because, like, Tai Tuivasa had that weird contract dispute, but I don't think he was actually released. And like,
Ross was actually cut, yeah.
Yeah, hard cut, like a couple of that.
But anyhow, this is quite the run. He beat what Jordan's a young dude, too, is he not?
Yeah, when he beat Sean Woodson, who's, like, a young
dude
in this run. And, if I'm not mistaken, that was also a Darius joke. So, like, multiple Darius jokes.
That's wild. No, I think I interrupted. Did you have a thought earlier on that I interrupted with my...
No, just like Arosa is fun, and he's keep being fun. Keep putting
that's the insight you guys look for here. Arosa
is fun.
Yeah, he's fun. Yep. And then we went with the Canadian in the curtain jerker. This actually was not supposed to be the curtain jerker. We lost the fight, which we would have nailed anyhow. I can't even remember what fight we lost. It was Jonathan Martinez.
Yep, came Marcelo in. Rojo.
Yeah, he came in overweight, and then he had adverse effects from his botched weight cut, so maybe we wouldn't have got that one right, because we have Martinez, and if he was in that bad of shape, who knows, maybe we wouldn't have lost that one, but We'll pretend that we would have hit it. So the makeshift curtain jerker power bar beat champion Marc-Andre Barrio. And it played out basically like we said it would, right?
I got
inside and wore him out.
I was a little surprised they didn't wear him out more. Like, Daltrey's gas tank looks better. I'll give him that. But I'll say this. I was also surprised how good Marc-Andre Barrio's hands looked. He looked really nice on the feet. He was picking his spots. His head movement was good. He was cutting angles. Like, he was getting away from that big power right that Dolce loads up on. Like, he did a really good job in there. And is that three straight for Marc-Andre Barrio?
I think so. He maybe only
two. Oh, no, it's only two technically because one's a no contest because he's positive for some stuff. Yeah, but he has won three in a row. Three in a row at the time of the fight.
Exactly. And he was very close to getting cut, you would have thought, because, what, he dropped his first three, did he not?
Now he's bounced right back. So all good stuff from him, and it was fun to watch.
And that was Dan's lock pick. So Dan nailed his lock. My lock pick was the only pick I got wrong, like I said earlier. Bukauskas, who got his knee broken by the dirty, dirty Khalil Rountree Jr. So that puts well, that fun event, only nine. Maybe I enjoyed it more because it was only nine fights, but it was fun. I like the short one.
The daytime one, too. That's the
key. And then we got a week off now, and we got just a fantastic card coming up, don't we, Dan? Anthony Smith and Ryan Spann.
I love this card. And if you like nine fight cards, I've got some real bad news for you about this.
Yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, there's 14 at this point.
If you're looking at it on
I'm on Wikipedia right now.
On Wikipedia, I think you're actually probably missing any because I think I saw 15 on one earlier. I'm going to research it right now. I'll get back to you. You go ahead and talk now.
I don't have much to say, but this is not a heck of a lot of star power on the card.
There's 15 now.
Oh, yep. Boy. All right. So
at least 50.
Anthony Smith and Ryan Spann is the main event. Yikes. What's the co-main event?
I think it's Pani Kianzad and Raquel Pennington, which is actually pretty fun. And then we got Armand Sarkarian is fighting. You got Jim Miller in there. You got Ian Kutalaba and Devin Clark. That's fun. Nate Maness is a fun prospect who's in there. So is Impa Kasangane. Who else do I like in this one? Gustavo Lopez is always in fun fights. Did I say Montel Jackson yet? He's in this one too. That's a fun fight. Yeah, Montel Jackson and JP Bayes is going to be good. Jim Miller is fighting a guy who's never fought in the UFC
yet. I know, that's interesting, isn't
it? That's a wild matchmaking choice. Yeah. Like, welcome to the UFC, dude. Here's a guy who's fought in the UFC more than any human being.
Yeah, it's very strange. So there, once again, Dan's the good cop here, and he puts the good spin on the fight card. So, but we got a couple weeks for that. Maybe we'll quickly give you some picks for this upcoming Dana White's Contender Series. But first, let me tell you about our last couple sponsors, Odds Crowd. If you haven't downloaded the Odds Crowd app yet, you're missing out. The free roll football contest is taking place on Odds Crowd this year. $10,000 for the best NFL bettor. Sides are included as well this year. Also, weekly $100 SGPN exclusive contests just for people who have the app downloaded. There are over $30,000 in cash prizes up for grabs across both season-long and weekly contests on NFL and college football. The boys here at SGPN are all taking part, so you can try to claim bragging rights over us, too. Here's how it works. Once you enter a contest, you track your bets against real odds and lines, much like you would with any pick tracking app. The most profitable players rise up the leaderboard. If you have the highest profit at the end of the contest, you win. And Odds Crowd isn't just fantasy betting contest. It's a social app for sports bettors. Free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private fantasy contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free or go to oddscrowd.com today. While you're downloading stuff, you got to download our app if you haven't already, SGPN app. Make sure you download the app and enter our week one NFL picks contest for your chance to win. Are you ready? $100,000. And it better not be coming out of this podcast pay, let me tell you. Our production is already, you heard last week when I held my phone up, that was our big, to the speaker, that was our big production budget we have here. So just joking, $100,000 we are giving away if you nail all the picks for NFL week one. So you got to get the app though first. The SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. It gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. Don't forget to toss us an app review and download the SGPN app today. All right. We had some shuffling around of the contender series, but Dan's on top of it, of course. That's why he's here. He's not just here to tell us the fighters are fun. He's here to tell us who's going to win. So we got contender series coming up on Tuesday night from the UFC Apex. We've got a 5-fight card. Do you want to just do best picks, or do you want to break down each fight quickly, Dan? How you want to handle it?
I could just give you some of my favorite. Let's do favorite bets, although there isn't lines for two of them, so I suppose that makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah, the lines aren't out yet I've got lines for everything except one, it looks like, which I've got Darian Weeks, Josh – no, is that fight still on?
Weeks is not fighting Klitman.
Right. So I only got odds for, what, 3 fights, so yeah.
Yeah. So
all right, well, you can tell us who you like, though, and where you think the line's going to be.
Sure. So I'll start by saying one of my favorite ones on this card to bet is Chidi Njikwani versus Mario Souza. I actually really like Njikwani in this one. And what I've been seeing is when he opened, he was opening at like plus 120. He got bet way down till it was almost like an even money. And he's like back up to plus 120. I don't know what that says at all. That's like a really weird set of line movement. But he like went down and back up. And I love that he's an underdog in this, because what I've seen from Mario Souza, kind of a guy who likes to stand and kick too, which is all of what Chidi Njikwani is. If you guys remember watching his brother Anthony Njikwani in the UFC or WEC Never Die. Chidi is just like Anthony. So Mario Souza in his last couple of fights likes to kick and wound up getting the job done on the mat, but like not by going there to his own choice. Like, he's not the type of guy who I see is choosing to wrestle. He's got really good sweeps if somebody does wrestle him, and he's got decent submissions off of his back and stuff like that. But like in his contender series fight, it was his opponent who kept taking him down to the mat, and it was his opponent who brought it there, and he got sweeps and stuff like that. So now he's back fighting on the contender series again, and I just think he's probably going to get the fight he wanted in the first place, which is just to stay on the feet. And I don't think he's a better kickboxer than Chidi Njikwani, so I like the underdog play there. I will also say I really love Bruno Correa in his fight against Carlos Vergara. Wow, I'm the one butchering it this time.
Yes, finally.
Vergara.
Yeah.
Yes, that guy. So I like Bruno Oliveira in this one. The line I'm seeing, How about
Bruno Correa instead of Bruno Oliveira?
Yeah, okay, so it's Bruno Correa, and his last name is actually
Oliveira. Is it also Oliveira?
Is it Mesquita? Mesquita? No, I don't remember. He's got an actual last name, but it's not Correa.
The Bruno guy we're going with.
But Bruno. So Bruno is Bruno Correa here. I like him a lot. He's got really flashy kicks. He's surprisingly good on the ground. And from what I've seen from his opponent, his actual name.
This is Carlos Vergara.
I don't know why it gave me a really tough time. But Vergara was a guy who likes to keep it on the feet too, and is just like not nearly as fast as Bruno Correa, who is crazy fast. So with Correa coming in, you can find his odds right around negative 180, as low as like negative 165 in some places. I think that's a steal too. And I'm interested to see what comes in as the odds on Josh Quinlan versus Logan Urban, because I have a feeling that late replacement Logan Urban will be an underdog. And if he is, jump on it as fast as you can, because he shouldn't be an underdog in this fight. If he is, it's only because he's taking this on short notice. But this dude comes from Ohio Combat League, which I know is not a promotion a ton of people know about, but they do churn out some pretty good dudes on the regular. And he has some crazy highlight reel knockouts, knockouts, submissions, really fun stuff. His last flying knee was incredible. He's really fast on the feet. I think he gives Josh Quinlan a lot of problems. He's obviously got to defend the wrestling, but that's why I think he'll come in as an underdog, and I like him in this. So, yeah, for my three that I like betting, I'll say Logan Urban, Chidi Njikwani, Bruno Correa. For my last two picks, I like Simon Oliveira, who's in on this card. I don't see odds on him. I assume he's kind of going to be a really large favorite, so I don't particularly love that. I also don't love his style in a lot of these fights. Sometimes it looks like he's waiting for somebody else to take him down. And I like Mew and Gafarov as well, too. That guy fought so many good dudes in 1FC, including John Lineker. And I think he's probably going to rough up this Canadian, but, like, the line is just not anything. Yeah, Chad Angler. Man, that's a tough
one. It is. And
Hilliger. That's terrible. Yeah.
Maybe it's a silent H. It's still not good.
That's not easy. That doesn't make it better.
Anyhow, that Canadian guy.
Gafarov is a guy who has fought John Lineker and all kinds of other, like, really tough competition over in 1FC, including, like, Reese McLaren and Leandro Issa and, like, people like that, who have all either been in the UFC or UFC level. So Gafarov is going to beat him up. The line is just, like, kind of big, and it keeps swelling. I think I saw it was negative 325 in one book and negative 275 in another. So if you can still find it down around negative, like, 200 where I saw it start, that's cool. But, like, otherwise, it's nice. It just doesn't tempt me all that much. So I like Urban, Njikawani, Korea.
There you go. Parlay them together, Digens. You always want to do parlays. So parlay all those together and get yourself some big money. So we'll be back on Wednesday to recap how we did on that. And what else we can talk about, I don't know. I got one reader question. So if anybody else wants to send in questions or topics for us so we don't have to do any work over the next couple of podcasts, that would be fantastic. You can get at us through the Slack channel. Like I said, I'm active on the SGPN Slack, or you can get us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer or Gumby Vreeland. So yeah, make sure you read all our stuff. We're just finishing up our NFL previews, different team every day because the season is about to begin. So got that. Make sure you enter our $100,000 contest. So I take it if, like, someone wins that contest, like, we're done then, right, Dan? Podcast off the air.
If either me or you wins it, like,
if one of us, that's true. If one of us wins it, yes. But if someone actually wins it, the boss has to pay that out, then come on. Somebody's got to go. And Dan makes a lot of money, so for an associate co-host.
Well, I do when I hit that contest.
It's true. Yeah, so make sure you download the app and get on that contest. And if for all your MMA needs, MMA-manifesto.com is the place to be. And all your degen needs is sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And make sure, if you aren't already, to subscribe to our podcast feed, MMA Gambling Podcast, where you will get this podcast as soon as it drops. We have to wait our turn on the SGPN main feed, so you don't get the podcast early on that one. You get it fresh out the oven on our MMA Gambling Podcast feed. And you do, the reason that's important is because we have such an effect over the lines in the books now that all the touts and all the advice we give you adjust the lines in Vegas, so you're not going to get the sweet picks at the sweet prices. So, right, Dan?
Yeah, you gotta get our sweet prices.
Exactly. You got to get in right away. Listen to our show before we affect the lines is what I'm trying to spit out. I'm going to let Dan take you home because I think I've run out of words for some reason.
Well, as long as I don't have to say somebody's last name, I think I'll be fine.
You are.
I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is Juicy Jeff Fox, and we will catch you on Wednesday.